Okay, thank you, Jeanette. So I basically will sum all this up. So I started looking at, AvaTev was looking basically at the local level or at one cancer. Jeanette gave you the overview on central registries, and I basically look at what does meaningful data and public health policy really mean, and how can we present it in the right way. So I don't have any relationships to disclose. And I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Jeanette Jackson-Thompson, Dr. Samoas, and Saba Yamane, our database manager. And so basically, you've already gotten a lot of background for central cancer registries. We have central cancer registries in every state, and they are there to help health professionals to address the burden of cancer. And we have stakeholders to address health issues related to the determinants of health. So as cancer registries, I want to go into this first. So disease registries can support and strengthen public health policy through meaningful data representation to reach the Healthy People 2020 objective, which is to reduce the number of new cancer cases as well as the illness, disability, and death caused by cancer. So if you so the Healthy People 2020 cancer goals are the background is that incidence and death rates have declined for all cancers due to the cancer research and detection and treatment that has been done, but among people that actually have cancer, more than half of them will be still alive in 5 years. So the survival rates are actually better than they have been. But yet, cancer still remains a leading cause of death in the United States, and it's second only to heart disease. So the objectives support monitoring trends in cancer incidence, promoting evidence-based screening for cervical and colorectal and breast cancer, and monitoring the incidence of invasive cancer, cervical and colorectal, and late-stage breast cancer. Those are focus areas that are targets and goals. And our purpose is basically to present different ways of making cancer data meaningful, interesting, and accessible to stakeholders, and to review and compare how health-related data can actually be presented in useful ways to inspire health in all policies. So if you've been, basically the goal is health in all policies, which is a collaborative approach to improving the health of all people by incorporating health considerations into the decision-making across sectors and policy arenas. I have looked at the history for health policies. And if you look at, WHO had the Declaration of Health, which was geared towards primary health care, but it was the first international declaration of health in 1978 with the five goals that health for all and that all people have a right to health. The second main goal was equity, and that all people have, need to have access to health. And third, health as a socioeconomic an issue and a human right issue. And then the role, they basically acknowledge the role of state and communities. So that, and the fifth, they included the primary health care components because, like I said, that first declaration was mainly geared towards primary health care. So if you think about this, so and those goals were supposed to be reached in the year 2000. So we have passed 2000, and the Declaration of Alma-Ata has celebrated the 30th anniversary, and we are actually going to be going on to the 40th. We have still not reached those goals. And then going down, I guess, the list, I'm not going to name all of them, but those were some major events in public health policies that have been established first in the 70s, some of the Scandinavian states, Canada. There was the Thai National Health Act, which was accomplishment, and then in Brazil, latest the Declaration on Social Determinants. So we basically reviewed the existing public health policies relating to central cancer registries and national organizations and how researchers present data. And we examined how data was representation matched with stakeholder-specific interest. Those are the links. I will only open maybe the first one, yeah. So this website has all cancer registries on here and all the policies. So if you are interested in any of the details, that's what our analysis was based on. And then I will show a picture. This is the cancer control planet that I will use for some of the mappings. So we identified our stakeholders for cancer registries, which are many. It's public health, local, state, federal, healthcare providers and researchers, patients, family members and caregivers, and the members of the public and the communities, government agencies and legislative bodies. As you've seen, so the way data is presented, it really depends on which stakeholder you're presenting the data to. If you present data to a patient by just in an overall map for the whole state, it may not mean anything to them. It's just an overview for them. And the same thing for like healthcare providers, they are interested more than likely in what their facility does or their county or their how health is, data for their facility and institution. So we identified key components that needed to display disease registry data in a way that's meaningful to the stakeholders. And a need, we basically identified that there's a need for coordinated efforts to drive towards useful and efficient use of data and best practices to reach those healthy 2020 goals. So the need is for increased awareness of the value of disease registry data. As Jeanette mentioned a little bit in the beginning, it really depends on, how you present your data, incidence data, mortality data, prevalence, and on your data source. So we want to encourage the effective use of data to stimulate change and health for all. So we categorized and in three categories, basically the opportunities. And so you need to, if you want to display data, represent data, and reach your stakeholders, you really need to identify the issue for that specific stakeholder, policies or relationships that can potentially provide early success with that partner specifically. Otherwise, it's just another map or it's just another table. And identify policies that have major impact on specific public health priorities. So, for example, counties, different counties have different interests, and they have, their policies will be different. Then the sector focus on one specific policy area that has a large impact on health. So don't try to do everything at once, and really then don't influence anything specific. So the five key elements are basically to promote health and equity and sustainability. There were a lot of questions asked in many of the presentations that I went to. Some of the projects that once they're funded, but are you able to sustain the projects once the funding is actually done? So to support intersectoral collaborations and benefit, hopefully benefit multiple partners, not just the partner that you're working with, but the outcome can be to a larger community. And to engage stakeholders and create structural or procedural change. So those are just a few basically just visualizations, and I'm just trying to present here. If you don't know, it doesn't really mean anything to you. So those were the goals for the Declaration of Health in 1978. That's a Healthy People 2020 representation for Wisconsin that they used for their state, their goals. And then I went, like I showed you the link before, I showed the colorectal screening ages for 50 and above in the U.S. So if you look at that map, if you're like a patient or even a local county health department, that may not be interesting to you. But here I went, well, actually, let's go back. So here you see Texas all high and red and everything, so it's the whole state. But then if you actually go to Texas itself and look at the counties, you can clearly see where there's a problem, and it's not the whole state, obviously. So then you, if you look at the county, for like your city, you probably want to drill down. I mean, that was what Jeanette was presenting on Boone County, when you can actually drill down a little bit more and actually find those areas that you may want to target with your interventions. Then that's just a table. Like I said, for maybe for your patients, that table may not be as meaningful. So some of the future opportunities, you want to existing and new interagencies initiatives that have potential health in implications. You want agencies that you want to work with agencies that can benefit from partnership with other agencies. And process, you want to identify processes where health metrics or data can be added. So maybe at some of your smaller entities, your departments, you have actually data that may not be visualized or may not be used in a way that can actually be helpful. And what are you, you want to look at what are your past and current successful partnerships. So, and then health issues of concern to any community group and state in your area, you want to identify those. So in conclusion, data to support stakeholders is available but may not be in a meaningful format. And by using tools such as dashboards, scorecards, we have the ability to make data available in a meaningful way, and if applied to specific health issues and meet stakeholders' needs, they really become a lot more useful. Like the first presenter had that map, so I mean, I think that that was a great presentation. We saw that you can actually identify the projects that are related to cancer control. And then effective presentations of data aid to reach the Healthy 2020 goals. So in conclusion, that's a quote, research tells us what we can do, standards tell us what we should do, but the registries tell us what we're actually doing. So registry data is still the gold standard. And most of the data representations that you see are actually based on registry data. So with that in mind, I just okay. Are there any questions? Oh, sorry. Are there any questions? Yes, and I yes, I just want to say that this quote I have it's not mine. It's from somewhere else, but there's nowhere you can find it. And I don't know what presentation it came from, but I try to, I think registries will be happy if it will be used again. So
thank you, Iris. Do you have any questions? First, I have one comment before I go to questions. This has brought us full circle back to Moore, and I realized when you were showing the list of stakeholders, we left off a very important stakeholder, the NGOs, the non-governmental agencies, because we work with them all the time, but we left them off that list. So Iris, come back in. Does anyone have, you had a question? Or does anyone? Okay. What have you got? Does anyone have another question for Iris? Well, I'd like to take this last 5 minutes. We're a small group here. I thank you for your loyalty and sticking with us. What did you get out of this session? And what additional things would you like to add to the topic of the data and showing the data in the different ways and categorizing and putting all of those different cancer-related projects up on a map? Have you learned something today, and can you take it home and use it?
And how? I like Indiana, and we have a long-standing health information exchange in the United States, and so we struggle on a regular basis integrating all of that data into a central hub, and then adding the death data on top of it, which is a whole other nightmare as well, so I have hours and long discussions about. And we are actually, I work on two projects where we are looking at cancer data, so, which is interesting to see, perspective from another state.
Indiana has, as far as I know, the only complete health information exchange network in the country at this time. You all are doing great work.
We are working with the state of Kentucky. Their cancer industry on it.
Right.
The state of
if you didn't hear her in the background, they're working with the state of Kentucky to get real-time reporting on some cancers. Kentucky and Missouri were the two states funded by CDC using American Recovery and Reinvestment Act funds to bring data directly from physician office and clinic EHRs, electronic health records, into the Central Cancer Registry. And we were thrilled to be one of the two states selected because getting data from, every state has their own state laws and statutes. In Missouri, physicians are only required to report if the case that they are diagnosing or treating is not being reported by another mandated reporter. So, for example, a general practitioner who refers a patient to an oncologist, the general practitioner doesn't have to report. If the oncologist is referring the patient directly to a hospital, then the oncologist doesn't have to report. Well, sometimes there's a slip there. The physician may refer the patient, but the patient may not go. And so we only find out about that patient perhaps years later when the patient dies. And by getting data directly from physician office EHRs, we would get that data sooner. And we, one of the primary lacks in cancer registries, and you can tell we're all high on cancer registries do not, as a rule, capture comorbidities. So if you're trying to do comparative effectiveness research, for example, you see that standard of care was not delivered, we cannot always determine whether standard of care was not delivered because it wasn't available, it wasn't affordable, or it wasn't recommended because of pre-existing comorbidities that did not allow the physician to deliver the standard of care, the particular chemo or the particular drug or even radiation that would be standard of care. And it hasn't turned out exactly the way that we anticipated because we were afraid that the tail was going to wag the dog because most of these cases that are diagnosed or treated in physician offices, and except for the ones that where the patient doesn't show up, they are the less complicated cases. So we thought we were going to have all of this data on comorbidities for our less serious cases, and we would be lacking it for the most serious cases. Well, it turns out that we had this great idea about what should be reported in for stage 2 meaningful use cancer reporting, and we required a CDA format that was not required for other public health reporting. And because cancer, there are only 50 states and the District of Columbia, there's not a great call for central registry software. And because for hospital vendors, you have syndromic surveillance, you have infectious diseases, you have other ways of getting reimbursed for meaningful use than cancer reporting. So many of the vendors have not adopted a have not developed a cancer reporting module. So we are not getting the data in through the HIEs. Well, and then we have states like Missouri where we have a couple of small HIEs, but our statewide HIE is not yet in effect. And all we are, the University of Missouri is the designated representative So all facilities and physicians that diagnose or treat cancer in Missouri must report to the Missouri Cancer Registry. The data comes directly to us, with one exception, and that is data that is submitted to meet the meaningful use requirement. So we can work with the pilot sites that we had under the ERA-funded project, but we have to wait for the Department of Health's cancer reporting portal to be available for anyone who wants to get reimbursed for meaningful use to report those cases to us. So I commend you, Indiana, for having what you have and for working with Kentucky.
It's so hard to get the data.
Anyway, thank you very much. You've been a great audience, and thank you, Noor and Awatef and Iris. It's been my pleasure to be the moderator for this section.
Thank you.